Jarrett Tatum, brought to us via Michael Hawley. What is innovative about what Tatum does?
Jeepers, just about everything. You know, what's so amazing about a piece like that is it sounds so perfect and so fantastically sort of blocked out and mapped out. And he probably played it that way 50 times. But one of the neat things about putting every Tatum recording you have on your iPod is you can hear all 17 versions of Sweet Lorraine, and every one of them is different. Each one is sort of perfect by itself, but it's just extraordinary to hear how exquisitely put together they all are.
What did you do as a classically trained pianist? Did you take some of all 17, or is that one particular version?
That is one particular one that that I sort of half-transcribed. I found a book of transcriptions by Jed Distler, which also corroborated some of what I figured out. You know, there's an awful lot of notes, and it's not like it was written down. Tatum was just making it up on the spot, more or less. So it takes a long time to work out the details. But after you get one piece set, it's very interesting to listen to other sort of Sweet Lorraines and see how marvelously different they all are. You know, it reminds me of when I was a kid taking counterpoint class, because they'd give you a tune to harmonize in the style of a Bach chorale, and you'd write your harmony. And then you'd listen to the three or four different versions that Bach did, and it would just sort of blow your mind. And it's the same with Tatum.
Make you stop for another 6 years.
Yeah.
Now, Art Tatum, what do you think? Do you think classical musicians should all sit down with some of these transcriptions? It would be good for us, probably.
I think they should. You know, there's a handful of pianists who were sort of pure pianists. Chopin is in that category. Godovsky is another one. Tatum, certainly. I mean, these are people who fully express themselves through the piano. Not a person like Liszt or Rachmaninoff, who was a multiple threat, you know, composer, conductor, pedagogue, everything. Just a pure, exquisite pianist. And if you love piano music, you can't not fall in love with the things that Art Tatum did. It's just mind-blowing.
The downward cascade, that was sort of a trademark of him.
Well,
of
and
Art
upward.
Tatum.
You know, he had these lickety-split runs, and he never hit a crack either. It's the most irritating thing. And on top of that, he was blind. And there's probably an interplay there. I suspect to fill in big leaps, he'd sort of do it by inventing little three-finger runs, and
right.
He got awfully good at that.
Right. You told me at some point that psychoacousticians, although I didn't know that there were such things, but that they refer to the Tatum speed, is that what they call it?
Tatum speed, right. Sort of more notes per dollar than banjo music. You know, there are different units in acoustics, like decibels for amplitude, and psychoacousticians refer to Tatum's as the maximum number of notes that you can discern in a given period of time.
That is fantastic. Now, you brought us a little treat. You brought us a few treats. You brought us Tea for Two. How come you brought this? Tell us about this.
Recordings, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, nobody's ever going to play like Art Tatum, least of all me. This is sort of my own personal love affair with the music. It's kind of an homage to somebody who was just off the charts and whose music you wouldn't hear live otherwise. But he recorded so much that it's sort of silly not to hear some of it. And what I thought we should do is listen to a group arrangement of Tea for Two, if we could.
Sure.
It was one of his trademark tunes. And I'll tell a little story in the middle of it.
Okay, let's go to that. This is Art Tatum himself, and the song is Tea for Two.
Thank you.
always struggle to hang on for dear life when Tatum is playing. Barksdale never knew what he was doing on stage. But the story concerns Vladimir Horowitz, who was one of many classical fans that Tatum had. Before Horowitz had made it to the top of the peak, other guys like Joseph Hoffman and Rachmaninoff and Gadovsky were still alive and kicking. But Horowitz began working out these knuckle-busting arrangements of the Carmen Fantasy and the Stars and Stripes Forever, just ridiculous stuff to knock people's socks off. He spent 6 months, apparently, chipping away at a crazy version of T for Two. He invited Art Tatum upstairs to
Horowitz
his apartment.
Did?
Horowitz did, yeah. And invited Tatum up, and he said, "Mr. Tatum, I'd like to play you a little number." And he sits down and plays T for Two, finishes, you know, bullets of sweat, the piano is smoking, and he says, "So, what did you think?" And Tatum says, in his humble way, he says, "Oh, gee, Mr. Horowitz, that was real nice. That's a great tune." He says, "You know, I play that tune myself." And Horowitz says, "Oh, really? I'd love to hear your version." And so Tatum sits down at the piano, gives him 3 minutes of T for Two, and Horowitz's jaw just hits the floor. He can't believe it. He says, "My God, where did you get the music? I've got to have that transcription. Can you give me the music?" And Tatum says, "Man, what are you talking about? I was just making that up. I was improvising." So anyway, bring it up. And this is a great strain. I suppose I should mention, by the way, that Horowitz never played T for Two in public.
Yes, he was a very intelligent man. We're listening to Art Tatum, some of these great recordings of Art Tatum with Michael Hawley, who is director of special projects at MIT and who is well known for his curious mind and has been awarded for his curious mind. And we're listening to Art Tatum considering, you know, I think of all the time that one practices on these licks, similar licks in Chopin and other pieces like that. And they just came pouring out of Art Tatum.
Pouring is the right word. Man, I look at some of those riffs. I kind of spend a long time deciphering them. And I think, geez, you know, a typical piano composer could spend half of his career and he wouldn't come up with one riff like that, you know.
Right.
And with Tatum, it was just a kind of a waterfall.
And yet it didn't seem superfluous or gratuitous?
No, and, you know, when you really start looking at how things are put together, his delicious sort of harmonic twists and improvements are sort of mirrored in the structure of the riffs themselves. It really hangs together like the best classical literature type piano music. It's just great music.
Now, what else do you have? You have, I know that he was trained classically, wasn't he, Art Tatum, initially?
He
as a
was.
Kid.
He actually started out on the violin. And as he put it, he was a lousy violinist after 4 years. But in 3 days, he became a great pianist and didn't slow down. And he did have kind of a classical upbringing. I'm sure at cocktail parties, he used to riff all the time on old classical nuggets. And we'll get to that in a second. But I thought it would be interesting for people to hear not Tatum's fingers, but Tatum's voice, because the sound of somebody's voice tells you a lot, I think, about their character. And if we could just play the beginning of a radio broadcast, and I'll explain. This was done in the last year of Tatum's life. He was hoping to go to Sweden and Europe, and he made this broadcast for Radio Sweden. So you'll hear just a little bit of it.